Welcome to Sabbatical 101. My name is Bethany Walensky, and I'm an associate professor at Michigan State University. I had a life-changing sabbatical, and I'm on a mission to help fellow academics do the same. This podcast is a resource for all things academic sabbaticals. Each episode will provide you with inspiration and insight into the sabbatical planning process, regardless of your institution, discipline, length of sabbatical, or where you plan to sabbatical. I'm so excited to have you along for the ride. Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of Sabbatical 101. Today my guest is Allison Hooper, who's a recently tenured associate professor and who was actually the first client to sign up for my Reignite program. So we worked together to plan her first sabbatical, which is starting as this episode is being published. So in this episode, Allison talks about what she has planned for her spring 2025 sabbatical and about which aspects of the program were most beneficial to her as she created her sabbatical plan. And if you're interested in any of the things that Allison mentions in this episode, I would encourage you to head over to my website, www.bethanywalensky.com, where you can find lots more resources about planning your own sabbatical. And in the show notes, I'll also link my sabbatical purpose guide, which relates to what Allison shares about creating her guiding principles. And I'll also put in a link to episode 14 of the podcast, which is about identifying the purpose of your sabbatical. I hope you enjoy the conversation. Hey, Allison, I'm so excited to talk about your sabbatical.
Great to be here.
So before we get started, do you mind just introducing yourself briefly and say a little bit about the work that you do?
So I am an associate professor of early childhood education at the University of Alabama, and I've been here since 2017. I started this position right out of my PhD, and I do research in early childhood education, specifically childcare access and quality, mostly home-based childcare. And I do a lot of my research in partnership with the state agencies here in Alabama that oversee early childhood education.
Great. And so I'm also in the early childhood world. So we knew each other before we connected about your sabbatical. But if you think back to the first time we talked about your sabbatical plans, do you remember? I think that was in May 2024, and your sabbatical starts in January 2025. Do you remember what you were thinking about your sabbatical when we first connected, and maybe what challenges you were facing when it came to planning your sabbatical?
Yeah, so I think I knew I was excited for it, but it seemed very abstract. So like this thing, I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to do to get ready for it. I'm not even sure what I'm supposed to do, like while it's happening. It seemed like it might make sense to do some planning, but I wasn't even sure what that looked like. I think at that point, it seemed really far away.
Yeah, and it kind of was. So you enrolled in the program, I think, back in May or June, and then we didn't get started working on planning your sabbatical until this fall. So it's not to say that you have to start thinking that early, but you were just one of the ones who, fortunately for me, jumped on the bandwagon and decided to do it. So what made you decide to enroll in the program?
Well, one reason was I had worked with an academic coach pre-tenure, and found that extremely helpful for helping me kind of prioritize my writing and identify some boundaries that I maybe needed to set and get some help carrying that out. So like, I did not need to be sold on the benefits of coaching. So right away, I thought that you know, that sounded really helpful. And then also, I have really good mentors. But I think one place where they are maybe not as strong is stopping working. So like when I think about my closest mentors, I haven't really seen them take up a sabbatical, partially because they're involved in a lot of grant-funded work. And just like I'm involved in grant-funded work. And so sometimes it's like, it's not a good time. I have these ongoing projects, so like I'm not going to stop. So because of that, I knew I might want to seek someone else out for some support around planning the sabbatical. And I knew my own tendencies too towards overworking, staying really involved in things. So I thought some external accountability would probably be helpful.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I don't know if you had this experience, but I remember, in all my conversations, many of my conversations with my colleagues about their sabbatical and people that I trust and are really good mentors to me, so many of those, the recommendations would be, well, I didn't do this, but you should do this. And so it was almost these stories of like, here's the wisdom that I gained the hard way, or here's what I think you should do, but I'm not necessarily doing that in my own career. So it becomes a little hard to like, hold on to that, those recommendations, because you don't see it modeled for you.
Right. No, I agree. So it's helpful to hear those things, kind of cautionary tales, but it's also, I think, important to hear from people who had a successful sabbatical or was like, look what I was able to do and here's why it was great and here's how I made it happen.
Yeah. So which aspects of the program did you find most beneficial?
So I think I found all the aspects beneficial. I think.
Well, that's so kind.
It's true. I think the coaching sessions were really beneficial for diving in to some of my more like individual challenges. So to take the content, the exercises that I did in the modules, but then to really identify, like, here's a part that I'm still not sure about, or that might be kind of unique to my situation. And then to be able to do some problem solving with you, for you to ask me questions to help me reflect or maybe think differently. So I appreciated that time in the coaching sessions. And I think I also, from the different modules, I enjoyed the calendar activity, definitely. So I've been coming back to that one. And I just think about, like, so when I kind of mapped out my sabbatical, the first time I did it with the calendar, I forgot all the trips that I said I was going to take. You know, I was like, I want to visit my family and I want to take a vacation. And so the first time I mapped out kind of my projects and my writing, I left all of that out. So, and then when I went back and redid it, that was really helpful for getting sort of a more realistic of, you know, maybe I want to narrow down this list of goals a little bit or think a little bit differently. I think the part I keep coming back to the most is the sort of values or guiding principles that I set for the sabbatical. So that was pretty early in the coaching program, I think. Those guiding principles I use pretty much on a daily basis as things have been coming up. So like, hey, next semester, do you want to be part of this webinar? And so I think back to my guiding principles. And like, sometimes I know I say yes to things that other people might not say yes to, but they're very much aligned with my goals for my sabbatical. So I found that piece is probably the part that continues to benefit me the most.
That's amazing. And also just so gratifying to see like this idea kind of out in the world working, because for listeners who might not be familiar with the structure of the program, this is where we start. We kind of take, I think, maybe a counterintuitive approach, or just not the place. Most people, when they start planning their sabbatical, they're like, okay, what is the work I'm going to get done? What are the projects I need to do? And instead, we start with thinking about like, what is your vision? What are your priorities? What do you want to get out of your sabbatical? And we translate those into a set of guiding principles. And it's just so cool to see that that you're using those and coming back to them and using it to guide your decisions. And like you said, not everyone is going to make the same decisions or have the same guiding principles. And so I think part of the planning process, what I've seen with you and other clients that I've worked with, is just this growing, building a sense of confidence in the decisions that you're making. Like, you know why you're making the decisions you're making about your sabbatical, even if they're not the same ones that your friend or colleague or that, you know, that I made, certainly. So that's awesome. And I remember you mentioned the coaching sessions. I remember a session, I was just telling someone about this the other day when I was telling her about kind of like the work that we do in the one-on-one sessions. And I remember during the week where we talked about boundaries for sabbaticals, we went through like all of your, every student you work with and talked about like, what are the boundaries that need to be set? Or like, what are the expectations for working with that student during sabbatical? So yeah, I think those one-on-one sessions can really lead to new insights, and I can ask you questions that are different than ones that a colleague might ask you, right? Because I'm not, if you decide to do less within your department during your sabbatical, it's not adding to my workload. You know, I have no kind of vested interest in the way that a colleague or a department chair might. So
definitely.
Cool. So tell me a little bit about your sabbatical. What came out of this process? What does your sabbatical look like? And what are you most looking forward to?
Yeah, so I think what I'm most looking forward to is a different pace for my days. And, you know, I was thinking about how I went right from my doctoral program into a tenure track faculty position. And I remember thinking, like, when I finished my dissertation, things are going to slow down a little bit now. And they did not. And so, you know, then it's just a mad rush towards tenure, more or less. And then after tenure, I thought things might slow down. They have not, because I had so much already in the works and it doesn't just stop. A part of why I'm taking my sabbatical kind of as early as I could is because I just really feel this need to stop at the pace that I'm going now. Mm-hmm. Even though I really enjoy my work, I really like all parts of my work. So I think slower pace, quiet mornings, writing, doing more things that I enjoy, hobbies. And then I do have active projects, so I'm not totally walking away from even campus or some people on campus because of these active projects. But I think like you helped me map out a way to contain that, to make progress on the things that I need to without it kind of taking over everything else. And then I'm thinking ahead to going up for full professor, you know, not anytime soon, but thinking about how do I start to build that trajectory. So I'm really looking forward to this balance of getting work done, kind of moving projects forward, having time to think and reflect and kind of do my work more thoughtfully, and then having plenty of time for quiet and rest and movement and fun as well.
Yeah. And so I think you have this great balance of like your personal priorities. And you said it's hard when you're mapping out your calendar. You're like, oh, wait, right. I forgot the trips that I want to take, right? Because I think we can get so into work mode and what's the next thing, especially when you're just coming off of that like pre-tenure hamster wheel. So to even, I love the idea of just having sabbatical because you need to like pause. And I think one of the things that we worked on is you're involved in an incredible amount of projects, right? Because you're very successful, you get a lot of grants. And so part of what we did was kind of look at those projects and help you think about, you know, how can you use sabbatical to kind of finish some things up so that you have fewer things on your plate as you come out of your sabbatical too. And you were thinking about how to curate those projects so that you're really going in the direction you want to be going in as you think about going up for fall.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think that process of kind of curating and thinking through has already been helpful even before the sabbatical to take some things and be like, you know what? I don't need to finish that one. Like it's been sitting there unfinished for a while and it can stay unfinished. So like I've already found that to be really worthwhile.
Yeah. And that's hard, right? I think it's so hard to give up something that you've invested time and energy in. But then it can feel so freeing once you do it to just kind of have that weight off of your shoulders. So I know that you haven't taken your sabbatical yet. You're kind of like, I don't know. I don't remember. What date is it officially starting for you? Is it like in January or is it starting in December? Yep.
Thinking January, first week of January, but I'm certainly trying to like wrap everything up this week.
Yeah, it's kind of the mad dash right before the winter break. So as you think about the sabbatical planning process, what's some advice that you would give a friend or a colleague planning their sabbatical?
I think that it's necessary to plan the sabbatical. Which was not really something that I knew going into this. I knew I needed to tell my institution sort of, here's what I think I'll get done. But that's not the same as planning out kind of my time, my priorities. And so I think making intentional time to do that. And so for me, just knowing myself, I know that by working with you, that helped me do that. And if I hadn't done that, I probably wouldn't have taken the time. Other people are maybe better at that than I am. But I think like making time to plan is a really important piece. And then I think it really was freeing for me to realize that there's not this one right way to take a sabbatical. So that's something that I hope to tell other people as well. Like, it's going to look very different for different people, and that it should. And that wasn't necessarily something that I knew. You know, I had this image of the sabbatical, like, you go to Europe and you write a book and you do a lot of thinking all day long. So realizing that like your sabbatical can look different ways depending on what your goals are, I think is good advice.
Yeah, I think the Instagram worthy sabbatical is the one we think of, right? That's kind of exotic, but it can feel really disappointing then if that's not the right sabbatical for you, or you wanted that sabbatical and it's not the one you're able to take. And so I love this idea of, you know, really owning the sabbatical that's right for you and realizing that there are lots of different ways to have a successful sabbatical. And it's probably going to look very different for each person because each of us needs something different by the time we get to our sabbatical. So, well, Allison, it's been so great to hear about your experience in the program. And I'm so excited about your sabbatical. And I can't wait to hear how it all goes when we check in while you're on sabbatical.
I hope you found this episode of Sabbatical 101 helpful and inspirational as you think about your own sabbatical. If you want to read more about sabbaticals or get even more support for planning your own life-changing sabbatical, head over to my website, www.bethanywalinsky.com, to read my blog and for more information about my sabbatical coaching program.